trumpet. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Hello everybody, this is Stephen Alston. This is the Warm Down Podcast and the most requested guest that we've ever had. There's only two that you've really fucking clamoured for. One was my granddad, and the other was this dude. The fucking that. True Geordie's here on the Warm Down, everybody. Woo! All thanks, right!
How I've you seen mate? The ones with your granddad, mate. He's a fucking legend.
He's not really known in the YouTube world, though, let's face it.
Mate, one thing that we do know about YouTube is it doesn't matter how well you're known is character counts for more than fucking views, in my opinion. That bloke's a fucking legend.
Well, I'm sure I'll pass it on. I'm not sure if he watches you, but I'll find out. how are you doing anyway? Newcastle are back in the big time.
I'm looking forward to next season. This one was painful at times, you know, even though we're winning games. That's like wore off after a while, like watching really bad level of football got me. I'm like a fan of football as well as Newcastle, do you know what I mean? I love watching a good level of football, and it did get painful at times, but it's over now. We're back in the Premier League. No more Channel 5. Fantastic.
I would say, though, because the games I've caught of Newcastle, yous have played good football and yous have scored good, exciting goals. Goals have come from all over. One, they've come from all over the pitch in terms of players. Two, they've come from all over the pitch in terms of the actual goal themselves, haven't you? You've not really been scoring tap-ins. There's been loads of fucking screamers this season.
The thing is, in the Championship, it's sort of, yeah, when you're catching highlights, it's a bit like Match of the Day. You don't get the full story. It's like, I'm sure you could tell me a lot more about Man United than I would have picked up the season. But when it comes to Newcastle, we are a very average Championship side with Richie, Shelvey and Dwight Gayle. Everyone else other than those, I mean, you could argue maybe one or two others, but pretty much everyone else is a Championship player in the squad. And the Championship is that poor of a league that you only need really a few standout players to get out of it. And that's really been the difference for us. We've scored some decent goals, but we've also been astoundingly bad for a lot of the season. Like, considering we won the league, it amazes me how bad we've been. Because when we last came up, when we had Andy Carroll and that, I mean, we were just dominating. I mean, it was really easy. We played really good. That was a very good Championship team. But this, we've been average, to be quite honest with me. I'm shocked at the fact that we've won the league.
Well, Gayle was one of the players I was going to talk to you about because he scored a shitload of goals. He scored a relatively decent amount of goals last time he was in the Premier League with Crystal Palace as well. He just didn't play a lot, did he? Do you think he's going to be the guy that can lead you to any fuck? I mean, first of all, what is going to be a successful season for you next year? Is it just staying up? And if that's the case, is Gayle enough or do you need someone else?
Well, the first point about Gayle, like, he's one of those stereotypical little goal scorers that England have provided over the years. Like, I suppose, like a Michael Owen, Jermaine Defoe-style striker. Obviously not to their level. But if you play him in the right way and you have someone helping him out, there's no reason why I think he can't score goals in the Premier League. He was Crystal Palace's top goal scorer three seasons running when they sold him to us. Thanks, Pardew. You look at going forward, we're going to need more than him. We're going to need more than him all over the pitch, to be honest. For me, success is literally just staying up. I'd be happy with that. Obviously, you're hoping for more when you've got a manager like Rafa Benitez, a crowd that we've got. You know, Rafa's proven that he's a good manager over the years, and we are a big enough club to be a mid-table Premier League club. I don't see why not, but I just want survival, mate. After all the uncertainty over the last few years, I just want to make sure we solidify and then start thinking about what we're going to do from there.
When Rafa was appointed, and I'm going to throw some tweets of yours on the screen here now, you was a little bit excited, I think. And when he got his permanent deal after he's went down, has he lived up to your expectations in the Championship, or do you think that league's maybe a little bit beneath him? And how do you see him coping with a season which might be a full season of fighting relegation?
Well, the reason why I was so excited, I think, is because since Bobby Robson, we haven't had anyone who come to the club who we were like, oh, he is a good manager, guaranteed. Everyone else, it's been a bit, oh, well, I'm not sure, you know, you did a good job here and then a bad job there. And we've had people from Graeme Souness, Glenn Roda, Pardew, Chrissy Houghton, Big Sam Allardyce, you know, we just didn't really know for fact what we were going to get. And I think with Benitez, you kind of do have a bit more assurance. But that being said, he'd never done the Championship before, totally different style. And he really could have blown his whole reputation by going down there with us. It was a big risk on his part with very little reward. But he did it. He won the championship. All right, it was stumbled over the line, but he didn't get a lot of investment. People seem to think that we went down there and were like Real Madrid in the championship. We sold people like Gini Wijnaldum, Sissoko, and we didn't bring loads in. So I'm happy with him, but now is the time to give him the money and really let's see what he can do. Do you know what I'm saying?
And I think that's been Newcastle's problem for, about as long as Mike Ashley's been in charge, surely, is that you seem to get your legs taken out from underneath you by selling your best players every single fucking season. And then he gives you, about a fucking mint arrow and a bag of Quavers to go and fucking buy something with?
I think Mike Ashley is slowly but surely finally learnt his lesson when it comes to Newcastle through trying to do everything on the cheap. And now he's just basically going to be forced to either give Rafa the money or people are just going to not put up with it anymore. I don't really see us tolerating it like we have done in the past. Because how many times can people eat a fucking shit sandwich? So.
And you do love a fucking boycott there, don't you, as well, of owners and stuff?
Well, we did one, mate. We successfully did one, and he did shit himself a bit then. But
is that Shepherd?
No, for the Mike Ashley one, we did a walkout a couple of years ago, where like most of the stadium left. I think it might have been against Spurs, but I just think we need to keep the pressure on Ashley to spend. Otherwise, he will just think, let's fucking risk it again. Because ultimately, his long term interest isn't Newcastle; it's profit.
So we saw the playoff game. It was a dull game, essentially. It was fucking awful to penalties, let's face it.
Well, am I right in thinking that Huddersfield went up and they didn't even have a positive goal difference from getting promoted from the Championship?
I want to say -2, and I also want to say they didn't win a game in the playoffs.
I mean, this isn't me having a go at Huddersfield, because good luck to them, you know what I mean? If you can get out of that fucking hellhole of a league, good luck to anyone. But it just proves, I mean, that is the level of the Championship.
I think the Championship's a very good league. I think if it was like in a smaller European country, it would be classed as one of the top leagues in Europe, I think. Because I think it's so competitive. But yeah, it looks like it's fucking ninja hard to get out of.
It's competitive in the sense that... But the thing is, what my annoyance with the league is there's not many good teams that want to just get the ball down and pass it. Usually, before there's a shot on goal, mate, you're looking at two passes from a goal kick. I mean, it is that. Unless you watch Fulham, I'll give credit to Fulham. Fulham are a pretty good team. But other than like maybe a couple of teams like that, it's just route one shite every single match. And that's what got me annoyed. I want to see teams that get the ball on the deck and pass it around a bit. You know what I mean?
How do you think they're going to do Huddersfield? Do you think make them favourites to go back down again?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, we might not stay up. But to be fair, the manager seems pretty decent, so maybe he might have a few tricks up his sleeve. But, I mean, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking of a United and Huddersfield double, but I don't think the money on it would be very fucking good. I think it would be garbage.
Let's talk about top end. Man United to go down? Fuck me, mate.
Not bad.
You've got to raise the expectations, don't they?
No, win it. They win it and they go down.
Yeah, they might.
Let's talk about the top end of the table then, because I've always thought, well, not always, for this season I thought war of attrition. All of that top six is not enough success to go around. You need to keep hold of your manager and not fucking crumble when maybe they don't have any sort of success. Let's start with Arsenal. What the fuck has gone on with Arsenal this season? We've seen the off-pitch chaos with Arsenal fan TV and all that lot. On the pitch, Arsenal at times can just look sensational and at the same time look complete and utter shit. They win an FA Cup by Wenger eventually changing his tactics. He did that for the last few weeks, actually, where he changed the tactics to that three at the back. It's kind of paid off for him. I mean, by the time this goes out, it might already be settled, but do you see him staying on, and do you think that's a good or bad thing if he does or doesn't?
I don't think there's a doubt in my mind that he wants to stay on. And I think that they're looking for that continuity, keep the money coming in. And I think he will stay on. To be fair, I understand some of the fans' frustrations in that they're wanting a challenge and they were promised that they would have been by now. But, you know, top five in an FA Cup for many fans, for a Newcastle fan, all right, we've got different expectations to them. But that is a dream season for a lot of people out there. Do you know what I mean? And when you look at how many teams are in the Football League, for what they've achieved, being in that top four for so long, they've won leagues, they've been in the Champions League for forever. You know, I think the expectations are a bit out of order at times. Do you know what I mean? Like you're saying, there's only so much success to go around, and Arsenal have had more than most for the last 20 years. So I think give him another. In a way, I'd like to see him walk away because I think he's had so much shit off those fans.
Yeah,
if he did walk away and with an FA Cup and top five and let some other chum fucking try and sort it out, I think, like Man United have found, they'd realise, you know, it bloody hell, we've had it fucking good for a long time and you know, we're going to need to get another manager with a long-term vision to fucking get we're back up there. And I can understand the argument of, all right, Leicester won the league, Chelsea brought Conte and they won the league. But To have a go at Wenger the way they have, I just think it's not fair on the bloke, do you know what I mean? He's brought a lot of success. So if I was Arsenal chairman, I would keep him and give him some money because I still think that he's capable of winning the Premier League. But I don't think I'd say anything wrong with letting him go if that's what they really want to do. And I think it'd probably be better for his mental health at this rate.
I actually think it's a win-win for fans of other clubs at the moment. If he stays, sweet. Because I don't think he will take them that much further forward than he's got already. And if he goes, I think that there will be that little bit of a vacuum that we saw with United, where you just don't know how involved Arsene Wenger is in that club. When Arsene took over that club, they was a lot smaller. And I don't mean in terms of world stature. I mean literally in terms of the amount of staff and everything that goes along the club. So they won't realise all of the little fucking places where he has influence. And when he goes, yeah, they'll be like, who's meant to be fucking doing that job? And I think that was what United found. I think you probably need two or three people to replace Sir Alex in total, like a director of football and maybe the academy director. You know, he does all of these little jobs without having the title. Yeah. And I think Wenger's probably going to be the same at Arsenal. I think when he goes, they're going to really fucking struggle to fill those boots. There was something I was going to fucking say about Arsenal, but I forgot what it was, man.
Well, the bottom line is the bloke. Like I say, I do understand the Arsenal fans' frustrations, but he's the greatest manager in the history of the club, mate. Like that, I'll never forget when we got rid of Bobby Robson, and what a fucking mistake that was. And I look at Arsene Wenger and the way he's getting trapped. Newcastle, we got rid of Bobby Robson because he finished fifth, and that wasn't good enough. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking insane, and that is exactly what how ridiculous that sounds now. I think it's going to sound even more ridiculous when we look back at Arsene Wenger getting shot of, because not only did Bobby Robson finish fifth, but Wenger's bagging trophies. Yeah, I mean, he's the record holder of the FA Cup. Do you know what I mean? I mean, all right, they want the Premier League title, but an FA Cup's still fucking brilliant in my mind.
I think the Europa League. I had a bad attitude to it, so I'm being a hypocrite here. I wasn't keen on it all season, and it wasn't until it became the most obvious way that we was going to get Champions League football next year that I was actually, right, okay, we're going to have to win this fucking thing. But Arsenal have been in the Champions League for 18 seasons consecutive, and only once have they come close to winning the thing. I think if they change their attitude to the Europa League and maybe look at what we did this season and go, fuck it, why don't we go for it and get into the Champions League and actually win something for a change, rather than just competing in the Champions League. Because competing in the Champions League, it's like, so fucking what, innit?
Well, another thing, mate, is that what I've seen is teams in the past who've won the Europa League, it helps them in the Champions League because they're used to that cup football at a high level and all the pressure. Like, I think it was Sevilla went quite far the year after they won it. So, yeah, Arsenal, that would be a really good competition for them to go out and win and set the standard. Maybe walk away after that. I don't know. But obviously, they need to get rid of Wenger soon because the man's an old man. And that's just the bottom line. But they need to be careful with who they replace him with. And that's what I was trying to say a couple of months ago, is just getting rid of someone for the sake of it is dumb. You need to have a backup plan. Newcastle, when we got rid of Bobby Robson, we were like, oh, he's too soft on the lads. Let's get a Bollocker in. Let's get Graeme Souness in. What a fucking idiotic thing that was to do. So, and I'm not saying just go with any old like hipster manager. They need someone who's like definitely going to work. Like a Jurgen Klopp, someone, if he was available now. Do you know what I mean?
Which is a perfect segue to talk about the Scousers. So they managed to get inside the top four. No European football and a paper-thin squad. How do you feel they're going to cope next season? And what do you reckon they've done? How do you rate what they've done this season?
I think they've done as good as they should have done, like given the players that they've got. And I like Klopp. He's kind of hard to dislike. He's a very passionate football manager. But yeah, next season, unless they gain that consistency that they didn't have at times this season, I don't see them doing that much better in the league. Unless they go out of the Champions League early doors, and then they haven't got that to worry about. Like you say, the squad is it's too thin, mate.
I think Mane's a fucking hell of a player, though. And when he's not playing, they look turd. I think they need to find a way to keep him fit or have a plan B for when he's not around, I reckon.
Firmino, I was impressed with him as well. But yeah, Mane, when you think that he... Liverpool paid £4 million more for him than Spurs paid for Sissoko. That is fucking great business, isn't it?
Mate, transfer fees are a fucking madness. Chelsea paid £50 million for Fernando Torres. Like... Yeah. Fucking madness. Transfer fees, just you can't wrap your head around them. I don't even fucking try anymore. They go like, he cost like Pogba cost 89 million. Yeah, so fucking what?
It's sort of objective, it's subjective now, isn't it? Like, just depending on who's going from where.
Especially in the United States circumstance where we've had over £1 billion go out of the club just in debt repayments to the fucking Glazers. And you're like, oh, we spent 89 million on a player. Fucking good. It's better than spending a fucking billion on a fucking bank transaction.
Well, I'm of the same opinion of that you are when it comes to money going out. I mean, with Mike Ashley and that, I really don't give a fuck as long as we're buying someone. All I care about is what I'm saying on the pitch at this rate. Do you know what I mean? I'll be dead and gone by the time fucking our loan repayments kick in. So let's fucking buy someone. Do you know what I mean?
City, third place, Pep Guardiola. What was your expectation of him coming into the season and how do you reckon he did?
I think that's the biggest underachievement of this season was Pep Guardiola at Man City. I think I understand why. It's a new league. He tried his old system, you know, playing it out from the back. He fluffed around with it quite a bit. You know, getting rid of Joe Hart, just a ridiculous idea, bringing in someone like Bravo and, you know, spending 50 million on John Stones and things like that. But when you've seen how they started clicking again at the end of the season, Sane, for me, brilliant player. Kevin De Bruyne, brilliant. And having Jesus coming back from injury with Aguero next season, for me, they're my favourite football team to watch. You know, I was talking about getting it on the floor. When they go and attack, when David Silva plays as good as he did at the end of the season, they're, for me, the most exciting team to watch in the Premier League. And that's why I think that they underperformed the most. You know, I think they should have won the league.
Well, if you look at how they started this season, plus how they started last season under Pellegrini, all the City fans now that are saying, oh, this squad wasn't good enough. No, the squad was fucking ample good enough. It's that your manager didn't have a fucking plan B in his books, which he should have been well aware of. And I think it's an absolute farce the way they get rid of someone like Joe Hart for a keeper that can play football, but actually he's not that very good as a goalkeeper. And then they replace him with a £50 million goalkeeper inside 12 months. Like, and nobody in the press is pulling him out on this. That he's gone through those three goalkeepers of his own fucking choosing.
How the Man United is everything's sort of explainable for FIFA Fair Play because Man United make that kind of money from shirt sales and that. How the fuck are City justifying all this? Like, I don't get it.
I think it's because their owners is Etihad, isn't it? Essentially.
Yeah.
So Etihad have sponsored the stadium for like fucking £500 million.
Oh, so they can then sponsor them for whatever they want, and that's how they make the money. All right,
building like I think 2,600 apartments in Manchester City Centre, which they're going to rent out, and I'm sure some of them get rented out for like £7 million a year, individual flats. Like, oh yeah, it's just you know, whatever. Like,
nothing
some of their executive
say, yeah.
seats are like really crazy executive seats where you get to sit with Sheikh Mansour. Do you reckon they're £500 a year? Because I don't. I reckon they're fucking zeros-tastic, and I think that's underwriting. Because there's no way City went from... With the fan base they've got, the revenue that they're turning over, I'm not having it. That's organic.
But fair play to them. Like, in the terms of attractive football, for me, they're the best in the league. But yeah, they should have won the league, mate. They already had the best squad before they went and spent £150 million again. So, should have done it.
Spurs. Now, a lot of people sort of really fucking got behind Spurs for putting pressure on again this year. How much do you reckon that Wembley move's going to affect them? And it's 2 years of fucking about, isn't it? Because it's Wembley 1 year and then moving into theirs the next year. We've seen with West Ham and with Arsenal and tons of other clubs when they move stadiums, they just fucking don't get it, do they, for that first couple of years? Do you think they may have peaked? Or do you reckon they're still going to be a threat next year?
I think they're going to be better next year than what they were this year because we're seeing that if they can keep these lads together, Ali, Kane, they're getting better every year. So, and Wembley might affect them because White Hart Lane is a smaller pitch and that, and it's easier to move the ball around there. But I think they're going to get better. The only question for me is, can they add to the team so that when Kane does pick up a knock, they've got someone to fill in? Because I can't remember the lad that they brought in. That's how much of a non-season he fucking had. They brought in a second striker to play with Kane, and he couldn't deliver, and ended up being Son, who bagged in most of the goals when Kane was injured.
Really fucking good.
Yeah, well, he kicked on. I mean, Lamella was really coming on, and then all of a sudden he couldn't get a game anymore after they switched the formation a little bit. But just generally, I think I look at Spurs as a Newcastle fan. I think, fuck me, I wish we were in that sort of position, having all them good young players. And, you know, like Kane, I mean, let's be honest, he's looking like the next Alan Shearer, do you know what I mean? I'm hoping that fucking Real Madrid buy the cunt so he doesn't get fucking the Newcastle all-time golden fucking boot record.
Spurs, if I was a smaller team than Spurs, Spurs' way of doing it looks attainable, doesn't it, actually? It doesn't look like, because they've not spent crazy money. They've sort of organically built this squad together using youth products and players from lower leagues or more obscure divisions and stuff like that. And it's like, why can't other teams follow that blueprint? They've not done what City, United and Chelsea have done.
Well, when you look at it, I think Son cost about, you know, I can't remember. I was like, actually, Ali cost about 5 million. Ericsson cost about 12 million. Do you know, like, these players now are as good as anyone in the Premier League on their day. And Kane, homegrown, do you know what I mean? They haven't spent crazy money, like you're saying. And I think it's all about having an eye for it. And credit to Pochettino, he's a great Premier League manager. Like,
I think he needs to win something to go into the greats. But yeah, I think he's doing a good job.
Very, very good.
A fucking good team behind him doing the recruitment and the scouting, and fair fucks to him, because yeah, it's doing well. I look at that starting 11 though, and I don't see an obvious weakness where you go, if they only had they'd be fucking class. I think they just sort of need to level up all together as a team, I think. And
Completely. That's one thing I love about the Spurs team, is when you line up against them, you don't look in any position and think, oh well, that's where we're going to hit them today. They, and especially in the middle of the park, because for me, I mean, like, obviously I'm talking to a Man United fan. You lot built your success for me on a strong core, you know, right through the middle of the park. And that is what they've done. You know, Wanyama's came in for not big money again and been absolutely fucking immense for them, having two big strong lads like Dyer and Wanyama in the middle of the park. I mean, that's what you want. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I do like, I got a bit of respect for how Spurs have gone about the way they're doing it, and they do sort of go with free-throwing football. They've had the most shots in the league this year, and you know, on the back of that, they've scored the most goals. They also keep the most clean sheets. They concede the fewest goals as well, and I think they could
over the last two seasons, they've been the best team consistently over that time. They just came up against Chelsea this year and Leicester last year. But if you look at Chelsea last year and Leicester this year, it's fucking absolute shambles. So Spurs are the best team for me in England. They just haven't put it together over one season yet. But if they can get someone to help out Kane with the goals, if he gets up an injury, I think they, and Wembley doesn't affect them, they can win the league.
I think you're probably right, but I do have that sneaking suspicion. Maybe I'm judging it on the back of how they did in the Champions League, where they completely tossed it off. But I do think that there's a very real chance that this move is going to massively fuck them up a lot.
But they've bottled it a little bit at times. Not, I didn't think they bottled the league, but in terms of the cup in Europe, Europa League, they should have done better. They should have won something by now, and that would worry me if I was Pochettino, like.
But I spoke to Boltwood, and Boltwood was like, he's just happy with the progress. They've gone from third to second. They came to second or to third from nowhere. So I guess he's kind of right. But yeah, agree with you, man. It's about trophies.
It's the best Spurs team ever, probably. But, you know, you got to win something.
Absolutely. Champions, Chelsea. What the fuck happened there? I actually thought they'd compete because I knew Conte was going to be a good manager. But I thought United would beat them to the title. Thought they'd come second. Yeah. About that, I know you don't like Chelsea.
I don't mind them. I'm just I find it hard to be happy for them the way I would another club. You know what I mean?
How do you see them doing next year? Because I think, again, that's another cracking starting 11. Pretty strong depth of squad. But Europe is a factor. Two games a week is harder than one game a week.
I don't think they're winning the Premier League next season. I'm going to say that now. One thing I've heard about Conte in the past is he works his players like dogs. And that's pretty okay if you're playing one game a week. But with Champions League and... All right, they've got Cesc Fabregas on the bench. They've got Willian on the bench. They've got some great players to come off. I just think it's going to be too much for them next season. And those players have proven in the past that they will down tools. And I think things are going to be a little bit more uncomfortable for them next season. So I'm very good season from them, but I don't think they'll win the Premier League next year.
Right, let's talk about my lot. United, we came fucking sixth, man, and we won two trophies. I'm not saying three because Charity Shield's not a fucking trophy. what was your expectation of what we was going to do this season, and where do you think we fucked it up?
I thought you would at least challenge me. I thought you would be in the top two, especially, you know, Mourinho's a fucking good manager. Bayern, Pogba. That, and now that money thing, it isn't a big deal, but when you hear those words, £89 million, you just think... Fuck me, that's big business. That they've got to challenge. They're going to challenge. Do you know what I mean? But it all kind of fucked up because you just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net enough. Really, when you're relying on Zlatan as your main man and he's like 30 fucking five. I mean, that says it all. Really, even as great as he is for that age, you know, Rashford is just a little bit too young to put it all on. Zlatan's a little bit too old, and Rooney's just. You know, he's gone and he's finished in my book. So I feel like what you've lacked in that team, that other teams had in the Premier League, was an Alexis Sanchez, Eden Hazard type. So someone who can take it from the centre mids and then take it to the strikers or to the goal and open the game up. And Martial was supposed to be that player. It hasn't happened for him yet. I don't think Lingard's ever going to be that level personally. So that was my sort of my issue with the team. So if I was used, I'd be going to Arsenal this summer and going, so Alexis Sanchez, 1 year left on his contract, Robin Van Persie style, how much do you want?
I would love that. I think he'd be fucking perfect for us in that position. It does look like we're getting this Perisic fella who's going to be playing in that position. So, and he's going to cost us, what, 48 million supposedly, which seems a little on the high side, but again, transfers make no sense. I don't think we're going to spend twice that on, you know, somebody else to play there. So I think we're probably not going to get Sanchez. But that kind of player, the one that's going to take it in that final third and make something happen, could be a little French fucker called Griezmann. If he comes, I'm already excited for next season anyway, because I think that Europa League just fucks you up, man. I mean, you've experienced it as well, haven't you? It's a fucking killer. Absolutely.
Well, we nearly got relegated the year we were in the Europa League, so that tells you all. I mean, although we weren't, but the fact that you're in the Europa League suggests that you should be in the top half of the table, and we were battling relegation because the players couldn't hack it. But yeah, mate, I feel like that's the kind of player that you've lacked this season, and Mourinho needs to take some of the blame for that, you know. But another thing is, and it's not to have a go at the lad, because fuck me, what a career he's had. But how the fuck is Michael Carrick still getting a fucking game? Like, and he's a great long-term servant, but how the fuck are we still, like, seeing him pull on a Man United? Like, he's great, but, like, shouldn't Man United have... So, like, when Wanyama was available, for example, you know, see you later. See you later, Carrick, mate. You've been a great servant, but this kid's a fucking beast. Do you know what I mean? Him and Herrera together... Fucking dream team. But
I'm a big Carrick fan, but he didn't. I don't think he had very many good games this year, if any, actually, that stand out. I usually like what he brings to the team in terms of that calmness and that leadership. And I'm glad he's got a year contract extension, because I do think this summer you're going to see Zlatan walk off into the sunset, or, you know, an American sunset. I think Rooney's going to be moved on. And I think the amount of experience that's drained out of the club, even in the likes of Schweinsteiger, has been phenomenal over the last few years. So we need to try and keep hold of any that we've got. And even if he plays fucking 10 games next year, Michael Carrick, in those group stages in the Champions League, or, you know, even in the League Cup or something like that, that'll be enough, because I think you can let too much winning experience leave, and United have massively done that. Even if you go back to that last team of Fergie's, and you see Rio and Vidic and Evra and Giggs and Scholes, those fucking five alone have won over 100 trophies between them, and you think, that's not there no more. And if Rooney goes and Carrick goes and Zlatan's gone and Schweinsteiger's already gone, who's the most senior player in the team then? Fucking Phil Jones.
I mean, providing you keep David De Gea, you'd probably say maybe someone like him, you know. But yeah, mate, I mean, that's the thing. That's a fair point about Carrick. But I have an issue with how many games he gets as a Man United starting player. Like, fair enough if you're going to wheel him out for the fucking, yeah, the League Cup and shit like that. That's fair. But he was starting big games for Man United. Yes, that can't happen anymore.
Against City, we had that midfield three. And there was a period of time, actually, I'm going to retract my earlier statement and say there was a period of time at the start of the season when Pogba, Herrera and Carrick as a midfield three really worked. But I think Mourinho, and this is one of the major criticisms I've got of him this season, is he just didn't rotate enough. And I think Carrick got burnt out a little bit and went poor. And I think Zlatan burnt out a little bit and arguably would have finished some of those chances if he'd... Northampton, for fuck's sake. Like, why is Zlatan Ibrahimovic playing against Northampton?
My argument isn't about the quality of Zlatan or Carrick. That's not to be disputed. But it's the fact that Man United are supposed to be Manchester United. And Manchester United don't wheel out the old boys for the fucking big games that you need to win. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yous have, like, in my head, I'm thinking Man United have Ronaldo, Rooney, Tevez in their prime. And then, I don't know, like, if we're playing Northampton next week, we'll wheel out fucking Andy Cole from the old... Do you know, like, it's not the way it used to be, is it? And I think that they need to get back to having, like, players for the League Cup and that, and then players for the big games, and Carrick shouldn't be a big game player.
And this is where you have to go, what the fuck happened with Schneidlin? Schneidlin, arguably, was the evolution of Carrick, a little bit more mobile, but does a similar sort of job as Michael Carrick. He played, like, 2 minutes in the league and got fucked off, and you think, he didn't get a chance.
Yeah. Mourinho's always been the type to do that, though, and that's why he fucked off Kevin De Bruyne. He fucked off Romelu Lukaku. With Romelu Lukaku kicked one ball, missed a penalty, and that was it. Goodbye, mate, you're off to Everton. And now, to get him, you'd be looking at 70, 80 million or something like that. So
I'm fucking sure. I'd do it, though. Yeah. I would do it. I think he'd be... He loves that target man style guy, doesn't he? So if he's got Lukaku, and he's got Griezmann playing off him, Pogba supplying balls for him, and, you know, little fuckers like Mkhitaryan and Mata and Marshall making things happen.
Imagine an old-fashioned forward two, like we used to see, of Lukaku and Rashford. Like a York and Cole-style partner. That would be fucking mental, mate. I miss seeing two strikers.
I love a two-striker system. It's the best. When I grew up, you're the same age as me, I think, aren't you? More or less. When we was growing up, the Premier League was about your fucking Yorks and Coles, your Sutton and Shearers. It was about partnerships, wasn't it? And that's, I think now when teams are defensive and they, you know, they play 4-5-1 against you, the way to break that down is to go with two fucking strikers. How easy is it for a defensive midfielder and two centre-halves to just keep hold of one guy? Now you throw another guy into the mix and now you've got a fucking problem. And that's why I think that you get good attacking football. I fucking love a two-striker system. I don't think it's coming back into fashion.
We might see it if Jesus and Aguero do it or something like that. But yeah, it's just I think they should try it more often, especially because so many teams are having three at the back now.
Yeah, split them. Fuck them about.
Exactly.
Mess around with them.
Exactly.
Oh, final thoughts then. Let's do a little bit of a pre-prediction on next season. Who's going to win the league?
For fuck's sake, I wasn't planning on that. Bearing in mind, we haven't had a transfer.
Transfers are going to have a massive part to play in this.
We haven't had a transfer window, but, you know, every year I say the same team because, for me, they've had the best squad in the league for the last 3 or 4 years, Man City.
I fucking hope not. Right, that will do us. Jordy, thank you. Have you got a YouTube channel?
I certainly have, mate.
Just a little corner of YouTube that you call your own.
That certainly is, mate. The link will be in the description below. Otherwise, I will be flagging this for copyright.
He's got a little YouTube channel, so my big subscriber base, you go and help this guy out and see if we can get you what you want.
425 today, mate.
All right, so let's see. Right. Let's get him some subs. He needs it.
Cheers, buddy. On the way to the 500, hopefully.
Jordy, thank you very much for joining me. This was fucking awesome. This is the end of part one. Part two is going to get fucking weird because you lot are all weird and you've asked some weird questions. So check out part two. That'll be coming in a couple of hours. Laters.